Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Breakthrough Directions. Each week, Breakthrough Directions explores the two faces of your business, outward through marketing and client delivery, and inward, your vision, profit model, systems, team, and you, so you can grow a business you love and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. I am so sorry about being late. A wonderful technical issues today are abounding. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com, calling into you live this week from Mishawaka, Indiana, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. I've been looking forward to today's show for weeks now. We have got a great show lined up. We have my co-host and friend, Linda Feinholz, the founder of Breakthrough Academy at breakthroughbydesign.com. Linda's calling in live this week from Los Angeles, California, where I hope it's warmer than it is here in Mishawaka.
And here I was assuming that you were having, you know, thunder and lightning and hail and everything else going on.
No, it would let me into the panel. It would let me put in the show ID. I'd hit the number one to tell it to start the show. It would start out telling me that it appears I'm calling back into a live broadcast, and then it would go to a fast busy signal. Like 8 times.
Oh, you know, I'm very glad that we talked last week so much about technology and business and life.
Me too.
And
I've got major meteor showers going on this week, but I don't think we have major solar flares, which usually causes that kind of stuff.
Exactly. We have to start our own little Blog Talk Radio notice, you know, where we put out our signals about solar flares and meteor showers as warning to our guests.
But I'll tell you what, here's the one thing I do know. Everything is energy, right? Everything is energy. Even technology, it's energy. And if there's anybody that gets it, it's our guest today.
That's right. I have been waiting weeks to have Asara Lovejoy join us on the show. And I know that our audience is just going to have a fabulous time along with us on this conversation. You know, probably in my mid-20s, I started looking at how I could manage my own energy, my own emotions, my own programming. And I love whenever I find someone who's followed that topic, not only as a passion, but with really intense study from the science side and the practical side, as well as, okay, how do we turn around and take this information, this learning, and literally turn it into tools people can use in their life? So, Asara, I am so glad to have you join us on the show today.
Well, hi, Linda, and hi, Gina.
Hello, Asara. Good to hear you again.
Thank you. And, you know, it's funny. I was tuned in right at 9 o'clock, and I was like, oh, okay, well, gee, okay. And I just kept, you know, okay, well, I'm just going to put it on play. And then all of a sudden, the introduction of the show, and it's like, yay, we're going to have the show. I'm so excited.
And for our audience who doesn't hear the prep music, it's actually very fun, bouncy music. So
It is. definitely. Well, I just think we're going to have a great show.
We are. You know, Asara, you have books out, you travel the world teaching, and I would love to back up a few steps and uncover a little bit about how you even started down this pathway.
I've never heard this story, so I can't wait to hear it myself, Asara.
Okay, well, I'll start. How much time do we have, by the way? 45 minutes?
About an hour. We've got an hour.
An hour. Okay, great. Perfect. Okay, perfect. So, first of all, I just want to say, Gina and Linda, that you guys are doing such a tremendous contribution to people's lives. And, again, I just consider it such an honor to be able to share some time with you. The first thing that I always love to say to the listening audience is that we're going to be talking about a great power that you have right within you that's an undiscovered and an untapped potential that you already are biologically designed for, and that when you discover how you can tap into this biology that's yours, that you're hardwired for, that you have as a tool within you and apply it in your daily life, that you can transform your life in moments. You can end suffering, you can come into joy and happiness, you can end financial struggle, you can come into having a bit better financial destiny, you can end arguments with your family, with your boss, your coworkers. All of that is absolutely possible, and it's not magic, and it's not the law of attraction, and it's not the secret. It is actual real science that you can apply in your daily life, and you've never been exposed to it. So my message is to bring this message of transformation and of our human potential out into the world, to share that message with everybody, to let them know, and then to explain, you know, why and how that works. So that's the first message. So the second message, when you're asking me how this
all...
Before
you go on to the second message, let me just say this. I have studied this stuff for years myself. I have read just about every so-called guru out there. And the one thing that I have found that makes your stuff unique is that it doesn't take months and years of effort to get results. It happens quickly, doesn't it?
Absolutely quickly. Yes, yes.
As in,
it
like,
does.
Not even days, minutes.
Well, we say, you know, of course, the book that I wrote is called The One Command, and we say in 6 easy steps, you command a change in your life for health, wealth, happiness. And
oh, I
the
can't
reason
wait.
That, yay! But I'm going to go back to Linda's question. So we're going to answer how that works for the people listening. But, you know, I had this start in my life where I had this epiphany at 5 years old. And it's interesting because we teach that we go into the theta brainwave to use these new skills that are there for us to apply to make change in our life in a different way than our ordinary thinking beta mind. We go into our theta mind. Well, when we're a child in the womb until 5 years old, guess what, gang? Our mind is operating in theta delta brainwaves. Now, people may not know about brainwaves. That's okay. I'm just going to say this, that theta delta brainwaves are slower brainwaves than beta, which is ordinary thinking, logical consciousness. Logical thinking mind's really fast. So when we're developing our subconscious mind, it is being developed in the theta brainwave. And as a child, we have all of these spontaneous ideas. We don't know what we don't know, right? We don't know our limits yet because we don't even know that there's a world outside of our family, for existence, or outside of our backyard, or outside of kindergarten. We're not aware of a planet all the way around the Earth or the solar system. So we don't know what we don't know. That's what's being like a child is. Then our cognitive mind, the rational, reasoning, logical thinking mind kicks in about 6. In that transition period, many, many children have a lot of very psychic experiences. Gina, I know you are one of them. Because I know how intuitive and psychic you are. But
absolutely.
Right, right. And many, many of you listening are as well. You have this hypersensitivity. Well, when I had this experience at 5, I was living out in the country and I ran out in the fields and I'm laying in the grass and making a grass angel, not a snow angel. And I'm looking up at the sky and my parents took me to church and I really loved the God. I really loved the God stories. You know, I just loved them. And so I'm looking up in the sky and I'm saying, you know, if God is everywhere, God is looking at me, and there was this face of God in the sky, and I said, no, no, but wait a minute. God is everywhere. Everywhere is really, really big. You know, can't be his whole face. Must be just the eye of God is looking at me. And then I'm going, no, no, I can't take that much God. That's way too much God. You know, it's just like I'm a speck in the eye of God. And when I said that, all of a sudden I'm out of my body, and I'm up in the sky looking down at my body. And I'm saying, oh, I get it. I absolutely get it. There's two worlds. There's the world of rules and outside behavior and how we're supposed to agree to be with each other. And then there's the inside job, which is this perception, this connection to everything. And then, boom, I was back in my body. But I remembered that as my message from 5 years old on. Well, I have to tell you, it was a nightmare for my mother.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because she'd say, okay, get your little patent leather shoes on, get your little white gloves on, get yourself dressed up to go out to church, to go to this. I said, Mom, that's just a rule. I don't like that. I don't want to wear those clothes.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and so then, you know, we would be talking to people, and I'd start tugging on her skirt, and she'd say, what, what? And I said, you know, kind of whisper loudly, that woman doesn't like you. You shouldn't be talking to her. And because, you know, I'm like reading the psychic telepathic, you know, message, not the outside world, right? And she's like, shh,
right.
Shh, you can't say that. You got to be polite. You got to be nice. So I was like so thwarted and so frustrated by the fact that you couldn't be true to your inner voice, your inner vision, your inner knowing self, that you had to in you know, the adult's perception, you had to sacrifice that truth about yourself for the rules, to behave, to be accountable, you know, compliant with other people, to get along with other people. And I just gave up. I went and ran out and lived with the animals. I just avoided people. I just was like, couldn't do it. So luckily we were in the country, and I went and talked to the rabbits and the little critters, and just had an honest conversation with them, because they'd say, hey, I'm hungry, I want to eat. You know, oh, I'm a little bit afraid. Oh, gee, you know, I'm curious about what you're doing. And so later on, I just started jumping into all of the potential of what we could do in our human mind. What is our human potential? And that was it. It was like my dedicated curiosity from there on into my life. Well, that's the spiritual side of it. So now let me get into the human side of it, which is I also went about my life living in chaos, with all kinds of problems, getting in trouble from having my children kidnapped and taken away and going and tracking them down to, you know, horrible experiences with operations on my body and all kinds of drama that we could make into TV shows. And so even though I knew that spiritual perception in my ordinary life, I wasn't able to live it yet. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Can you identify with this?
Yeah, to have that knowing inside and yet not be able yet to figure out how to actually make it the practical wiring of living your life.
Exactly. So I just, you know, not going to go through my bio, but, you know, literally I studied with, like, people at the Miniature Foundation and Dr. Elmer Green, who did all kinds of research on the brainwaves and neurology and science, and then started my own hypnotherapy, NLP, shamanic college, energy healing college in Seattle in the 90s. Bringing together many, many of these experiences that I'd gone through. And out of that, I started this process of saying, well, how can we educate ourselves to know something different that we've never read about yet, that nobody's been teaching us in metaphysics, nobody's been teaching us in our biology class? Like, we don't learn about the brain waves and how we can access different parts of consciousness in our biology class. They're not teaching us that we can create reality in our biology class, right?
Absolutely right.
So that was my goal. And as a consequence of that, I began to come in harmony with being able to operate in both worlds, in that greater power that we have that I call the alpha, theta, delta brainwaves, and to realize that we're all biologically designed with these beautiful brainwaves, and these brainwaves represent different states of consciousness. And in the traditional sense, the different states of a spiritual consciousness, or the different state of an awakened consciousness or a self-realized state, would be talked about in terms of spiritual studies. They, like you said earlier, Gina, you know, you had to do it for 5, 10, 15, 20 years before you could say, I can make a change in my consciousness. now science has finally caught up with what I talk about. I love the fact that I brought out the One Command message, and we didn't have Bruce Lipton talking about epigenetics yet. We didn't have the bleep do you think you know out yet. And so now the science is actually physically talking about how we can make a shift in consciousness, because we're designed to create a new environment in our DNA and the cells of our body by the way we think. So finally, science has caught up with the process that I've been sharing with people. And I'm just, you know, rattling on. Do you want to
No, I'm
questions?
Loving it, because I have this little notepad as you're talking, and I'm thinking, oh, and I want to probe this and I want to probe that. And, you know, I perhaps one of the best ways for us to proceed is if you would share what this notion of the command is all about, and then we'll start throwing questions at you.
Okay, that sounds great. All right, great. So what the one command is a statement that will stop our negative thinking. And so how I came to this statement was my last dark night of the soul moment. Because what I know about people is that we all have unconscious behaviors that are mostly put in place before we're 6 years old. We mostly make a decision about reality in our unconscious programming about whether we're valuable or whether life is risky or dangerous or safe, based on our environment of how we were affected by the people that were raising us, our parents or the organization or adopted parents, whoever it was. And so later, as we grow up, we always revert back to the prime directives, to the prime thoughts and feelings in the unconscious mind. And so we can identify those by how we are acting in the world. Do we get results in the world? Do we find ourselves thwarted all the time? Or for me, I was up and down. So I was like, I did really, really well. Then I managed to make it all go away.
I love it. You know, I refer to this as the ABCs of mindset, the attitudes, beliefs, and convictions that we adopt so early on. As you were saying, you know, by age five, by age six, when we're using language, but our brains are completely pre-verbal, and those beliefs are going in, and those attitudes are going in, and those convictions that become our anchor point.
Yes, and there are unconscious ideas of reality based on what I like to say in the book. Guess what? When we made a decision about how the universe works, we were small, defenseless, powerless, and at the effect of other people. No wonder we struggle our whole lives, right?
Exactly.
And I say, being a human being, everybody give yourselves just credit for the courage it takes just to live a human life when you have this wonderful hope, this wonderful desire to accomplish what you're after, you know, just even if it's like putting food on the table for your family or becoming, you know, going from $2 million to $20 million in your business. It is this innate spirit of humanity that we wish to create. We wish to create an experience for ourselves. So, and what's against that desire to create is these unconsciously held beliefs. So now we can cure, we can shift, we can change these unconscious beliefs really quickly. So when I had identified my pattern as really successful, then taking it away based on my unconscious programming of, you know, the father's ideas of limitation and you can't trust the other guy and watch out, they're going to get you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd be sailing up there doing really well, and then all of a sudden the subconscious program would say, well, you can't do that because then you'll get in trouble, right? And the last crash and burn was, you know, when I went into complete surrender of, I can't just do this anymore. I don't know how to cure this. I don't know how to stop this old unconscious programming. I've destroyed my, you know, investment. I spent 2 years trying to create a wonderful retreat center. I spent almost $1 million on it, and then everything was about ready to be lost. You know, I had no income coming in. I'm going to foreclose on the property. And that's when I finally capitulated. You know, maybe I don't know how to do this with my logical thinking mind. Even as smart as I think I am, maybe I'm not so smart. Maybe there's something that's smarter than me that I could tap into. But I didn't think that at the time. I was just devastated. And I just collapsed. And in that collapse, this whole process of the six steps and the one command showed up. And the actual words that showed up were, I don't know how. I don't know how. And this little simple statement is relating to our logical thinking mind, that the logical mind says, I don't know how. Wow, that's such a relief. I thought I had to have the answers. I thought I had to have a performance answer. In our day and age, we're like not given any time to think things through or to feel them out or to see what actually we could do. We're just, hey, you want to get married? You didn't say yes. You don't love me.
Instant.
Yeah, instant response. Instant response. So I don't know how the beta mind, our ordinary consciousness, which operates at a very high frequency, very fast. We think 70,000 thoughts every 90 minutes. We think the same 70,000 thoughts every 90 minutes. Oh, God, I wonder if I can get my rent. I wonder if so-and-so likes me. How am I going to solve that problem? You know what? I'm really angry at so. Well, okay, I think that maybe it's time to, I know I should work on my health. Well, I just wish people liked me more. Oh, I don't deserve this. But wait a minute. Okay, anybody relate to part of those 90,000 thoughts or 70,000 thoughts that we think?
I think most of us have a shared brain because you are echoing the conversations that go on inside.
That's it. And so I call that our small sphere of influence. Now, people, you think that's reality, but sweethearts, I got to tell you, it is not anything close to what your potential is. It's just that you get stuck in those 70,000 thoughts and think that you're going to find a solution in recycling the same thoughts and the same limiting thoughts and the same fearful thoughts over and over again, and I guarantee you that you never will. So how do you stop being caught in that repetitious mindset? I don't know how. Oh, wow. Well, it's true. Now I'm telling the truth. I literally could not think of an answer or a way to do it with my logical mind. But now here's the great part. Here's the good part. Here's the groovy part. I only know that I can find an answer. That's the second part of the one command. And I am fulfilled as a blessing. That's the third part. So when I make a command, I don't know how. Well, Linda, what's something you'd like to create for yourself?
I would love to create a greater connection with the entrepreneurs that I work with.
Okay, so greater connection with it. What does that mean, connection for you? More conversations or more joint ventures? Or
that's a good question. And it's so interesting to see what it takes to get down to reality. And as you said, out of performance answers.
Right. So what is, yeah.
Yeah, I would love to be able to speak in a language where the entrepreneurs I work with feel seen and heard.
Okay, so you're telling me that you're now speaking to entrepreneurs and they're not feeling seen and heard.
I think it may happen on occasion. I come from a very corporate background, and so it's very easy for me to slip into, in part of what we're talking about today, slipping into that analytical thinking mind and the language associated with how we are as professionals in a business setting.
Okay, so you're feeling a disconnect from them, like you're looking at them and you're imagining or seeing that they're not hearing you, or do they actually say, I don't understand you?
It's my imagination.
Thank you for wording
the question that way. I get to own it.
Okay. All right. Well, you can always just ask them, hey, are you seeing what
exactly.
I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm telling you?
And I do that, and they say yes. And then my inner chatter goes, maybe there was another way to say that. Maybe there was an easier way to say that than.
Okay, great. Okay, so I'm not going to go through a whole session with you.
Yeah,
but
no, I love
let's
it.
Let's just reframe this. I mean, let me tell you, all our programs came from early childhood.
Yeah.
So if you were to look back at your childhood right now, can you see where you had to state something and then state it again and then state it again? That
Absolutely.
People didn't seem to understand you when you were a child?
Absolutely. I even had the person that happened with all the time.
You can still feel it in your body, right?
I can feel it and I can see it.
Yeah. Okay, great. So this is what we're really changing, is we're really changing this idea of reality that you experienced as a child. Now, it wasn't true then, but you have the feeling state that it was true then. So now we're going to change that right now. What would you have liked to have had happen in that situation when you were a child?
I can paint the picture. I would have loved that person to turn, look straight at me so that I knew they were really paying attention to me and what I was saying, to nod their head and say, I got it, and here's key, not ask for a different answer in the future.
Got it. Great. Okay, good. So you're very visual. So
mm-hmm.
you operate on visual clues, and I just want you to know that other people don't.
Right, I was going to bring that up.
But that's okay.
I wanted
right,
to make sure
so,
that we talked about how people operate in regards to using this.
Okay, so, but let's just stick with you. So now your command would be, I don't know how I look at other people, nod my head, and know they got it. So you can't change anybody else, right?
Yes, very cool.
Okay, but you can change yourself.
Yes.
So I don't know how I am seen and I am heard. That's one command. I don't know how I'm seen and heard. I only know I am now and I'm fulfilled. When I talk, lecture, teach, I don't know how I'm seen and heard. I only know, I absolutely know that I am.
Mm.
Just feel that. I
mm-hmm.
know that I'm seen and heard and I'm fulfilled. And I don't know how I look at my students or my audience. I nod my head and I got it that I am seen and heard.
Mm.
Feel that. Oh, feel that. Oh, all of a sudden I got energy all over my body.
Yeah, completely different sensations.
Right. Okay. Now, this is a biological event. When we're working with the rephrasing the statement and then we go into the actual theta brainwave when we do it, what we're doing is delinking that old memory in your neurology in a second, in a moment, in a nanosecond. We're creating a pause in that neurology that's been firing that feeling and those visuals for you. And now we're bringing in new information of being seen and being heard, being recognized, knowing consciously and unconsciously that you are in great communication and connection with your audience and your entrepreneurs. And that is also known in you, but it's not what you're not tuning into that radio station. You're not letting those pictures show up. So anybody out there listening to this right now, just kind of identify how that's true for you in some situations so you can identify with what we're talking about here.
Fabulous.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So now when we're going through the six steps are ground, you just ground your energy, align, you line your heart. Now you go to theta. So you go to theta by looking up underneath your closed eyelids. Oh, but I promise my head won't turn around once when you see the whites of my eyes. I promise. Well, that's weird, Asara. Why are you asking me to look up underneath my closed eyelids? Because when you do this simple process, you shift from beta into theta consciousness. Theta consciousness is operational within us every night when we go to sleep, three times when we go through our cycles of rapid eye movement sleep. Our eyes go back and forth, and then they roll up underneath our eyes. When we're in that sleep state, our brain is circulating around, letting ourselves look at what we experience during the day, what we want to keep, what fits in with what we already got neurologically hardwired and adds more information. When we're going through these chaotic dreams, we know that we're reorganizing our information. Now, when we're a child and we're learning we don't learn while we're experiencing, the child develops their brain when they're sleeping at night. So we have an experience, and then the brain organizes the material when we're asleep at night. So when we're consciously awake going into the theta brainwave, we're organizing material instantaneously and telling the subconscious mind, hey, guess what? We don't like the way it is right now. We're going to command something new. So then you look up, you move out into, and just let yourself do this, Linda. And then moving yourself out above your head, move your consciousness out into the stars. Now we're out in the open potentiality of creating any reality. And then you kind of pop up into this white luminosity. This is actually a theta state described in the laboratories, that this kind of white luminosity shows up. And you just imagine it. You don't have to really experience it, but you imagine it. So now just hear the words. I don't know how. I am seen and I am heard with my exact words with my entrepreneurs. And I look at them, give them a nod, and know that this is absolutely so. I don't know how. I only know it's so now and I'm fulfilled. Now, the fifth step is to let go of that command and expand into an idea that's even greater, that will accomplish a greater good for you personally and for your entrepreneurs and the world than you even know. That there's even a greater intention with this command that's going to change and transform your life and the world. So you expand into the fifth step. Then you just let go, relax, come back down. And now we unwind the DNA. We go unwind, unwind, unwind. Let that old program of, oh, they don't get me, they don't see me, I have to always say it differently, let that go. And in that nice space, you bring back in, rewind, 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 with, hey, I am seen, I am heard, and I look at them and know that's true. Oh, there you go. See how that looks? Rewind. All right, what did you notice?
That every part of my body feels completely shifted and lighter. It was as if, you know, that notion of peeling the onion, each stage, as I followed your guidance through that, each stage felt like shedding. And I'm willing to bet if I chose to go stand on a scale right now, the scale would show I'm literally physically lighter.
Yeah.
And I actually feel on the outside younger and playful.
Well, that happens. People will say things to you when you start doing this on a regular basis of shifting your old neurology into new potential. They'll go, did you lose weight? You look different. What's happening with you? Yeah. So, yeah. Now, so also, now in my programs, I explain how we are the creator. You just created a new idea. You just created a new program within yourself. We are the observer. We go into theta. We're observing an idea that we're creating, and we're the experiencer. So when you're the experiencer, you're going to walk into this experience, you're going to stand in front of your entrepreneurs, and you're going to have a different experience than you've ever had before.
Absolutely.
And you'll just notice it, and you'll go, well, this is a little weird, this is a little unusual, this is a little different. Because when we command, when we say we want things, we're not prepared for them generally because we don't know what happens when they show up. We've never had that experience before. But when you practice doing this consciously awake, then you just kind of notice that the first time. And then after that, it becomes your unconscious new platform, your new baseline of reality. And you never think about it. Sometimes 6 months later, you'll go, hey, I vaguely remember when I used to want to be connected to my entrepreneurs. Yeah, I vaguely kind of remember that. So what I say is that the change is made instantaneously in a moment. This is how consciousness works. It changes in a moment. Your experience of it may not happen until you stand in front of people. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do see what you're saying. And it's interesting, this feeling of lightness, feeling of playfulness, it just feels like an energetic vibration and resonance. a state that I'm in, and the state I'm going to be walking through life in, which is the state of, oh, this is interesting. This, I'm curious to see what the next possibilities are. Instead of a sense of caution and defensiveness and worry and everything else. So it's really fascinating to see the difference energetically, to feel and experience it energetically.
Yes, and to know that you can do it this quickly. So what I say to people, my favorite thing is, hey, all you have to do is give up everything you think you know to get what you want, and then you can have it.
And I'm curious about something because you indicated, and you know everybody who's listening caught on, that I'm very visual, and you know that may have played into why I have this worry about the language to be using, because I'm trying to translate something I see visually into language. But we have people who are with us today and are going to be listening to this on its replay who know themselves to be either visual or auditory or kinesthetic or verbal in how they process. And what's the same and what's different for them in using the six-step process?
Well, in the six-step process, let me just say that, you know, they can come to asara.com, A-S-A-R-A.com, and I have a lot of introductory programs and CDs, and, of course, I recommend the book. We go through so much explanation of why and how this works. But in terms of using your imagination, we always are including all ways in which people process their own internal system of languaging. So when you go through the six steps and I say imagine means imagine the way you imagine. So I have two partners that work with my programs with me, Dr. Katie Garnett and Bonnie Strelo. We say, well, we're just the dream team because Bonnie is absolutely auditory. She's like, give me more words. I need more words. I don't quite get it yet. I need you to talk me through it more. And when she goes through the six steps, she literally is talking herself through the experiences. She's not seeing those pictures. She's hearing the words of, well, now I'm here, and now I'm, you know, this is the new wording that's coming in. All right, I'm very kinesthetic. So I always am in this feeling state of how the energy is moving in my body. Sometimes I don't see it clearly. I don't see images clearly, but I feel the images. So I feel the color, and I feel a shift and a change. And then Dr. Katie Garnett's visual, just like you, and she's always, oh, yeah, I see it, I see it. I see the picture. Oh, my God, I'm right there in the image.
I love it. Gina, which are you? She may be muted.
Very kinesthetic. Very kinesthetic.
Yeah. I was going to say, I already know what Gina is. Yeah, very, very, very kinesthetic because, you know, she's like feeling her way through all of this knowledge and information she has. So, Gina, what do you think about what we're doing here?
Absolutely love it. And it is such a powerful process. It's interesting how in my own life, the languaging of the process that you just walked Linda through has been different when others have described it to me. But what they were really getting at was this beautiful little six-step process that you got to in seconds.
It's interesting. You know, there's this phrase that so many people use, which is this or something better as a request to the universe. And it's so interesting, Asara, as you were talking about this, and Gina, you and I talk about how possibilities get opened for people. That or something better is the place of going into imagination and opening up. It's a partnership with I don't know how, and yet the possibility absolutely exists. And if I'll let myself open up, lighten up, go into imagination, that information can be available.
Totally, yeah.
And when I went through what I call my miraculous transformation, this massage therapist had told me that in order to save my life, I needed to remove the negativity from it, and that unless I could do that, it wasn't going to be enough to just have a positive mental attitude. And as she described what I needed to do, she kept telling me I needed to use visualization. And I kept saying, oh, but I use visualization all the time. So she said, describe your visualization. So I did. I said, I see myself as I am. I'm sick. I'm dying. I'm in my wheelchair. I imagine what it will be like to get up out of the wheelchair, have my tubes fall off. I'm healthy. I'm happy. I'm walking. I'm dancing. And she keeps shaking
cancel
her head.
Cancel clear. Cancel clear. Cancel clear. Okay, go ahead.
Right? And she's like, well, that'll never work. And her languaging of it was, how do you expect to start at a negative place and have a positive result? That's an interesting way of wording it, one that I had never thought about. What she suggested I do differently would have been so much easier to do. Wouldn't have taken me 4.5 months to accomplish had I had the simple process you just walked you through.
Yeah. Gina, I think your line just got a little wonky, so shake your phone. Change the ions.
I hear it. I'm going to hang up and call it back.
Yeah, do that. Yeah, that would be great. It would be great to have your voice clear again.
Yeah.
Sorry, you know, there's so many different programs people have put together, and as Gina was saying, you know, what's so golden is that through going through the science and assembling your own realizations, there's this practical, actionable approach to take that actually works.
Right. You know, there's so many self-help books that are motivational and they're inspirational, and then like 2 weeks later you can't remember what you read. So, you know, but every positive, you know, book is helpful and useful. And there was two ideas that I wanted to propose. One of the things that I say, and this is what my personal philosophy is of the application of the One Command, is I say, everybody, think about you as living in a greater field of intelligence that's your personal intelligence. Let's back away from having to go outside of yourself to create what you want. That you're 90 billion times bigger in your own personal intelligence of the way in which your brain works and functions. You can just say, you know, people say we use 15% of our brain. What's the other, you know, 85% for? Do you ever ask, well, what is it for? And your biology teacher says, no, I don't know. And I say, well, I can give you the answer right now. It's for this. It's for being able to access unused portions of your brain that have a potential of answers for you that are solutions to your problems, that are the implementation of your hopes, wishes, dreams, and desires, that is your personal data bank. It's not universal intelligence that you have to track to you. It's yours. When you start operating, if you did 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day of the One Command, and you took yourself consciously awake through the six steps into theta, and you commanded for your day to be exactly the way you wanted it for that day, or you wanted to resolve a relationship with the office manager, or get an increase of your raise, or find a new job, and you started operating from your theta mind that you cannot know with your five senses, but you command into reality in the cells of your body, and then you have the experience outside of yourself, you literally, over 6 months, would have changed the mass of your brain, that your neurology of the way it's linked right now would be rewired. And some of the qualities that come in from operating, and this is in every one of us. We have this biology that we can use that will create these states for us. The states of theta are a greater attunement and connection with other people, heightened intuition, a joyful, peaceful attitude even when you still have same problems. You're detached from them. You're like, oh, huh. Well, look, here comes that problem again. Well, okay, let's see what we can do about it, right? Rather than, oh, my God, oh, that problem is here.
Okay. And this is a very different approach to shifting our relationship with our past than, say, sitting in therapy and poking at an old bruise for an hour a week for 10 years.
Right.
Oh, and it's so much more pleasant than that.
Exactly. And it also, it starts from a very specific, what's the right word? I don't know if junction, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. You know, where you've walked down a road, you've come to an intersection, you get to make choices. Do you want to spend your time now walking into the future but looking backwards into the past, or have you had enough of that past story and you want to make a choice about where you're going in your future, and that is what you're giving your attention and your energy to manifesting?
Exactly. And so that's giving up everything you think you know. I mean, I have so much scientific evidence about how we never remember anything correctly anyway. And mm-hmm. every time we report a memory, we neurologically shift our brain into a bigger story about it, you know, and we never remember accurately. And so why are we holding on to this idea that our memory is sacrosanct? First of all, there is no past. There only is now, that you and your brain are cycling an idea and a thought again and again and again, now, now, now. Why would you want to cycle that thought of, oh, I'm so hurt and I'm so damaged and I'm so unworthy and I can't get what I want? And it's because, well, I'll tell you the reason is because the brain thinks it needs to remember that to be safe. So you have to learn something new, that you can be safe in a new way by having greater confidence, by tapping into that 90 billion potential that's yours, that you can have the feeling state of confidence, the actual experience. So let me just tell you some stories of what happens when you make this change. I love the
Before you go to those stories, yeah. I want to ask you a quick question.
Sure.
I know when I'm teaching this type of material, one of the questions I get all the time is, so what you're saying is I can just wish it so? You can't just wish it so. How do you speak to people who say that?
If they're sitting there wishing and wishing and wishing, you could end up being like those little gurus up in the cages, up in the caves where you find their bones.
I love it.
or you can, you know, become curious about yourself. What one of the things that we say is you actually have all the tools to make the change you need, because the process is so simple that you just notice what you're thinking negatively and you say, do I want to keep that negative thought or what would I like instead? And the people have the hardest time saying, I don't know what I want. Right. You know, you're focused on the problem, you're not focused on the solution. So ask yourself, what do you want instead? And then you form a command of having that. And then you go through the six steps and command it. Now you've made a shift neurologically. Now they say, you only need to do a command once. You only need to make a statement once. And they say, oh, I understand that, Asara, but how many times do I have to make the command? I said, this is not an affirmation. You do not need to repeat it over and over again. You're actually biologically shifting right in the minute you command. But can't be that easy. Yeah, it is. But meet yourself in the next thought. Now, we did that, Linda, for example, we did that change with you. You're going to have another thought about, well, am I really connecting with my entrepreneurs? You know, that's going to happen, right? Or some form of that. So
right, and I'm also, because of this experience, I'm also going to be able to see myself in action and having that thought, and I'm going to be able to laugh at myself over.
Or as soon as you identify it, say, well, what would I want instead?
Mm-hmm.
And then command it. I don't know how I have what I want instead. I only know I do. So you just literally are working within your own system to evolve yourself by noticing your own thinking and then changing it. And so there is a lot of emotional support that's needed for people that have been devastated by bad experiences in their childhood. I do not want to, you know, deny the fact of that emotional pain that people have gone through. But what I want to do is give a message of hope that they no longer need to recycle that pain. So when you do this work, like I have real great success with people that have been hugely sexually abused or raped or even post-traumatic stress from violence. And the reason is that the parts of the brain that are there to serve you, to keep you safe, to bring you into harmony with your life in a different way, are having a chance to show up and to rewire your brain into knowing that other experience as well. Then you biochemically change, you neurologically change, and then your outside experience changes. Absolutely. So that was what I wanted to do, is tell a story of how does your outside experience change when you make this internal change. That I say over and over again, it only takes one person to change a relationship, and that's you. And you have the power to change any experience with any other person, because it's your perception of that experience that is causing it to be occurring within you. It's in your life because you're believing that experience. So if you shift into another experience inside of yourself, that dynamic between you and the other person absolutely changes. So just a quick example of somebody having difficulty with their boss. I have them go in and command a new experience with their boss. And they said, but that's not my boss, Asara. I said, well, that is your boss inside of you that you're perceiving. Would you be willing to perceive a boss that listens to you, that supports you, that gives you praise, that likes your work? Would you be willing? But. And, oh, their body actually starts kind of shaking, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they see those new pictures, right?
And I said, it's reality being confronted.
Yeah, I said, you know, that could be just as true, because you're holding your boss in a frozen relationship with you in that negative experience. So I said, listen, just try it. You'll like it, right? That's my face. Try the one command. You'll like it. Try it. You'll like it. So she, you know, did the change. And they give me the call. I love the phone call. Asara, you won't believe what happened. I said, yes, I will. Tell me what happened. She said, I walked into the office, and my boss walked up to me and said, you know, I've been thinking about you, and I really appreciate all the work and contribution you make to the company. Literally.
Alternate reality.
Alternate reality, right. Fall off your chair, right? So, and then that's why the money shows up. Because the perception of reality is that there's outside circumstances keeping your money away. And then you make a command that you're creating a new internal reality that is knowing. Like I say to people, you know what you know already, right? You don't think about having to know that your gravity is going to be there when you put your feet on the floor in the morning. You know, you're not going to tilt and float in space, right? You don't think about that, right? So you don't think about things that you're certain about. You only think about things that you're feeling thwarted towards, that you're judging that you can't have be different. And we're just stepping into another potential of saying, well, what if they were different and you can have them be different and you're the one that can make the difference by making a change.
And it always blows me away how fast the things can show up, right?
Yes.
I just completed a 4-day mastermind with a group that we've been together several years now, and about once a year, we want to get to once in a quarter, we get together physically for 4 straight days to do what we do together. Well, Saturday was my day. Each day we devote just to one of us. And Saturday, very emotional, lots of great work happens. And within 60 minutes of completing that session, I was working on becoming a money-making, keeping, and growing machine instead of just being a money-making machine and having money come in and go out quickly.
Uh-huh.
Within 60 minutes, money shows up in big ways that I had absolutely no expectation of. And it happens that way all the time when you do this kind of work.
Totally.
We've got about a minute left, Asara. What advice do you have for our listeners?
Well, I just love to have you come visit my website at asara.com, A-S-A-R-A.com, and listen to some of the dialogues that we have in MP3s and programs to support you in making change in your life. And my ongoing message is just to recognize that we have such a amazing, untapped human potential right within each and every one of us. And every one of us is designed for that greatness to arrive within us. And it takes just a little education, just a little bit of focus on having that be our truth to make that realized for each and every one of us. And also just to know that, you know, we are safe no matter what these outside circumstances look like in our world or in our life, and that we are loved, and that we are in this most wonderful time of evolution of consciousness, where we can wake up and be in relationship with people in such brand new ways and within ourselves in such brand new dynamics, that it's just in a phenomenally exciting time to be living. So thank you guys for having me on the show and letting me come play with you. I just love it.
Asara, thank you so much. I'm always glad to be the person who says, come, put me on the stage and work with me. So thank you so much for the gift of it today.
You're welcome.
Talk to you guys later. Listeners who have not listened, who have not read The One Command, Asara has such a loving, supportive community. Go read the book and get involved. Phenomenal experience. Asara, ASARA.com. Thanks so much, Asara.
Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Join us Tuesday at noon Eastern for the next episode of Breakthrough Directions, from relationship marketing to business success.